Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening and welcome to Beyond Mentorship here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Oba Mbele, and thanks for tuning in on this glorious Monday evening. I'm looking forward to yet another episode of insightful conversation with our guests who are knowledgeable in their fields. As a norm, we bring you high caliber individuals so that you are able to leapfrog your personal space as well as your businesses. And the point is, why pay school fees? Because somebody else has already done it for you. So you just need to plug in, and by looking at the most, by looking at what really works for you. Anyway, in tonight's conversation, I'll be joined by Nokwazi Mzobe from Henley Business School, and we'll hear more about entrepreneurship and mentorship program, which is meant for school leavers, I'm told. And later on, I'll be joined by Professor Kubas Ostezen, who's a dean at the Postgraduate Studies at Boston. And Prof and I will have a conversation about the importance, among others, of outsourcing. Outsourcing as part of your business strategies. I'm looking forward to that kind of conversation. Anyway, before we get into the gist of what is up and coming, allow me to dispense with words of gratitude. First and foremost, Michael McKenna, thank you very much for laying a beautiful ground for us to land. Michael, we'll be back on your radio tomorrow. And I also want to thank Greg in advance for pressing the right buttons. Of course, Betsy for organizing this beautiful interviews that we are about to have. Last but not least, it will be a miss for me not to really hope nothing but the best for Matric. As we all know that most Matrics are starting their exams this week, I'm told. It's a very stressful week for most kids and their parents, of course. And we wish them all the best in their venture, because writing matric, it's almost like a rite of passage, Betsy. You know, you're about to enter a completely different space in your life. I mean, I recall when I started at varsity, I felt so relieved, so liberated, you know, not being told what to do. You know, you're just being on your own. Whether you don't make a page, you don't make up a page. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. The point is, we need to wish them all the best. And I hope they've studied, because you can't get anything without hard work. Anyway, that's just a thought which one needed to make. Anyway, as we proceed, last week, I was reminiscing about the conversation I had with Clive Butkle, who is a CEO and a co-founder of Conducive Capital. One thing that really stood out for me as I was listening and perhaps maybe making sense of some of the very interesting points that he put forward, it was the five T's. For him, investment is made on the five T's. I just want to quickly reflect on those five T's so that these obviously insights and nuggets of excellence that would be entrepreneur approaching the likes of Conducive Capital, you need to think about and say, where are we in relation to this 5T? The first one is team. And I couldn't agree with him more, because you invest in a team, not an individual. You know, he made some useful example about some individuals that were surrounded by best men and women. So that's number one. So in your business, look for a solid team, because if the jockey is mediocre, nothing's going to work. You can have a fantastic product, but if you and your team are not in the right space, forget it. The other point that he raised was traction. Obviously, part of your business proposal needs to demonstrate the extent to which there's been a bit of a traction, because, that begins to give the next person an appetite or a sense of where your business is and where your business will be. So that's the second one. The third T that he mentioned is technology. Obviously, we all know technology is at the core of particularly when you venture into a new business. One of those days we used to do everything. Now, pretty much every software, business development, financing, you know, financial modeling, you know, bookkeeping, so on and so forth. So technology plays a huge, because you need to focus your energy on what really matters, using obviously technology to aid that. The third point or T that he made mention of, it's he referred to as total addressable market. I didn't know there was the concept of total addressable market, but anyway, you Google it. It's all about the size of the market opportunity, which is critical. For him, you know, it was assessing how total addressable market to ensure that the startup has room to grow and expand. So that's something that you need to think about as you are, you know, thinking about where you are with the proposal that you're about to, you know, use to get support. The last one obviously was timing. Timing is about everything. So those are the five T's that Clive shared with us, which I think are important seeds that you need to reflect on as you are processing you know, your proposal, processing your business plans, and making sure that it has all these components. And to my point earlier, a lot of people have paid the school fees. So don't reinvent the wheel. Go back and look at what worked for him, a person of his stature. It's definitely worthy of listening to. Anyway, if you've got any thoughts based on that particular conversation or any other conversation prior to that, you're most welcome to share your thoughts with us. Our SMS line is 34519. The telegram is 061-895. And my X handle is _@DrMbele. I would welcome your thoughts on those particular issues. As I've indicated earlier, in today's show, we've got two segments. The first one, obviously, is the conversation that I'm having with, or I'll be having in just in a second, with Nokwazi Mzobe from Hede Business School. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome Nokwazi. Nokwazi, this is Beyond Mentorship, and you're most welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening.
The pleasure is certainly ours. Penny Business School has become a friend. You know, I've had some engagement with John Foster Peterly in some other engagements. So anything that comes from Penny Business School, it promises to be a what's the word, Betsy? She's looking at me. It promises to be it promises to be epic in it. Take us through this you know, a little bit. Tells me that you have either conceptualized or implemented you know, entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship program for school leavers. Take us through the evolution of that particular program.
Thank you. So I would say the evolution of the program comes off the foundation of our existing open Power Certificates in Management program. Actually, what we started noticing is that we're getting a lot of young people applying for the program. And what was interesting is that one particular young student that comes to mind is someone who actually went and lobbied his parents and said, "I don't want to go to a traditional university. I want to go to a university that's going to give me the time to work on my passion." And his passion was podcasting. And then we also started seeing other younger students coming in, maybe who want to work in their family businesses, or want to, I mean, one young lady wanted to go into beauty. And so it was an interesting thing to notice that, hey, these young people between the ages of 18 and 23, you know, is there a market? Is there a market there for young people? And so I think that's where the genesis kind of came about in terms of, can we design something for school leavers and specifically for a specific market that is looking at going to university but to learn the skills that will allow them to manage their businesses and to be managers in businesses, maybe if they were to go into a family business. So that's initially where it started.
No, thank you. That's a very useful story that you're highlighting. The natural question for me is, because typically when you initiate these kind of programs, there has to be some level of data or some level of evidence that says there's a huge appetite for this kind of programming, mm-hmm. purely because you obviously have business and you have to you have to employ strategies that are sustainable. The reason I'm asking this question is that it's important for anybody who bring in a new product and base it on what the market feels like. So what sort of feelers did you have in the market that sort of told you that this kind of program is required, if not necessary?
I think we looked at a number of things. So we decided to kind of have a broader look with regards to what is out there. So for example, one of the other business schools already has a Young Leavers program that and theirs has been running for about 9 months. We're seeing a rise with young people wanting to take gap years in terms of wanting to think about what they want to do. And so we also looked at that data. The other data that we looked at, which is something that John Foster Paidley, you know, really talks about when he talks about Henley, is that, you know, we only have limited university spots in the country. And so, as you've seen, Damlin shut down. And so, you know, there's a demand for higher education. So that's another factor, even though it was a side factor that we also looked at. And also, for me, what was quite interesting is also the number of young people who drop out after their first year of university. I mean, those stats were, I can't remember the number right now, but it was actually quite interesting, a number of young people who go into university and end up dropping out for a number of reasons, but some of the reasons that they don't necessarily want to realize, they don't necessarily want to study what they went into study for. So I think for us, we looked at a number of specific data points to get us here, but I think maybe there's a data point that I would say is unsubstantiated. But what was interesting is, for example, a few individuals would say, people are reaching out to them and say, does Henley have a program for young leavers? And that was an interesting question. And to us to say, okay, if we look at all these different trends that we're seeing, could there be an opportunity for us to create something like this? And I think, you know, maybe leaning onto entrepreneurship, it's going to start off like a minimal viable product to say, you know, let us design this program. It is based on an existing program, but of course we are customizing it for this particular target market, and we're changing a few things to make sure it fits with this specific target market and see what can become of it.
Absolutely. Those are beautiful markets that you're sharing with us. We're going to take a quick break in a second. When we come back, I want us to look at more into the program design. What are some of the modules or focus area which the program offers? Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined online by Nokwazi Mzobe from Henley Business School. She's giving us the ins and outs of the entrepreneurship program which Henley Business School has launched. One very useful points that you've shared with us, it's around the number of dropouts from universities. I can just point to the ones that I've seen. It was like almost like 60% of first year students drop out. They don't proceed to second year for a number of reasons. Others, it's about the level of readiness to operate at that level. So obviously others, it's finance, and there's just so many variables, but be that is made, this is quite a useful point. Another one is that there are limited university spaces, which is true, particularly when you want to attend on a full-time basis. And the third point, you mentioned the gap year, and it's becoming more and more of a norm, particularly in the Black community. Back in the day, gap year, what is gap year? What are you smoking? your parents just freak out when you talk about gap year, but it's coming more and more. So this kind of program are quite useful. So now take us through, what are the skill sets that are being taught for this entrepreneurship program that is meant for school leavers?
So I think I want to start off with one of the things that we sat and looked at, and we said, what is the need out there? And the need specifically in terms of what does the world need and what do businesses need? And so we looked at 21st century skills in terms of what are the 21st century skills that are required and need to be taught. So an interesting journal by Ghana and Letaba that looked at 21st century skills that are needed in TVET colleges. And then the other one that we actually looked at is the World Economic Forum's the Future Jobs Survey 2023. We also looked at the skills that they speak to. And it's quite interesting is that a lot of the 21st century skills and the future job skills that companies are speaking about, which comes through in the WEF report, but also in this particular journal article, they talk around a lot of the human skills or what is now called power skills. What's interesting about the WEF one is that if you actually look at the top 10 skills that they look at, it's analytical, creative, resilience, motivation, curiosity, technology literacy. So we looked at this empathy, leadership, and social influence. And so we looked at the skills that, you know, business is saying is required, and we said, what can we do in order to bring these skills through? So the one good thing around our Henry programs is that personal mastery is core to our design. And we always say, in order for you to be able to lead, you need to learn to lead yourself first. And that touches on some of those 10 skills. The other part that's also really key is the systems thinking. So systems thinking looks at lateral thinking and gets our students to think around complexity and to solve complex problems. And again, at Henley, if you look at all our programs, we have systems thinking at each level. So we're going to have that. But then to touch on the other skills, we're going to bring in, if I look at one of the 10 skills that are written over here in terms of leadership and social influence, right, but also citizenry. That's becoming a really key thing, is that how do we, I'd say, mentor and bring about responsible young citizens? We also took this into account. So taking that into account, our block one really starts by looking at you, the individual. Who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And that's around personal mastery. But then we look at the bigger picture in terms of, where do I belong in the world? And this is where we bring that in through our action learning project, where they'll be working in teams around sustainability. And so we'll be bringing that in. What we'll also be looking at, there will be an entrepreneurial theme that also comes through. So in our third block, where we would have the normal marketing finance days, we do that through an entrepreneurial lens to say to them, yes, you're learning these tools, but how do you apply them within this context? And the other thing that will also come through is around digital skills. So it's not just going to be in-class learning. We are in the process of partnering with other learning service providers so that we bring in those technical skills that are required. So one of the things which we've had a debate about, you know, and I'm sure you've probably had a discussion around this on your show, is around AI. You know, rather than us saying to students they can't use AI, it's more about how do we use AI in the right way? How do you let it be your thinking partner? How do you let it make you become more productive? How do you let it brainstorm with you? And so these are the kind of things that we're actually looking to incorporate. But I think the key thing to note is that Henley's programs are part-time. And part of it being part-time, I think the key thing to point out is that the MPs that come in all our programs are management practice. So when the students apply, they need to either have a part-time job or volunteer at a nonprofit, or maybe have a passion project that they want to bring to life, because the tools that they're utilizing or that they'll be learning in the classroom, we want them to go reapply. It's so one of the things that we're going to... Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because I was worried that, you know, some of the... Typically in universities, most of the work or the teaching is highly theoretical. And there's this big disconnect between what is happening in real life and what the teaching is all about. So, I mean, you've answered my question because I wanted to see how does Henley Business School bridge the gap from theory and practice. So obviously by making mention of action learning type of setup that begins to respond to that. You've also alluded to the type of programs that have been implemented. Well, the other point that you mentioned is that you are looking at folks that are either employed one or the other, so that they're able to connect, you know, the learning with their own specific environment. So how what's the duration of this program, and to what extent does it articulate to other higher levels of learning?
So the duration of the project, the program is a year. So it's 11 to 12 months. So it's going to start in March, early March next year, and should wrap up in February the next year. So 2025 to 2026. So that's going to be the duration. For this particular program, we've designed it as a gap year program. But the thing is that it is fully accredited. So our programs at Henley are accredited. So it's not going to be a certificate program. They're going to get a certificate, an NQF5 certificate that is accredited by the Council of Higher Education that has 120 credits. I think for now, you know, we're saying as a school, in terms of us, you know, designing it as a minimal viable product, to say, let's bring it into the market. We're targeting this type of young person. But the thing is, at Henley, we have an NQF6 and an NQF7. So if our delegates find that actually they want to continue with us, then, you know, they still can follow the other NQF levels that if they wanted to follow that way. But I think the key thing for me is that what we want, because we're saying that we want them to get skills that are going to make them work ready. Now, if it's about making them work ready, we want them to actually go seek work. We want them to start their businesses and really go apply. Because that's also the beauty about the Henley design, is that you graduate after 1 year, you can take a year or two to apply, then say, now I want to come back and do an NQF6. And then come back and you get that. Now I want to come back to do an NQF7. And this unbundled model that Henley has actually gives people flexibility as well to apply their learning versus traditional university, where if you don't finish the 3 years,
absolutely,
then you don't fully... Yes, yes.
Well, if you've just joined us, I'm having a beautiful conversation with Nokwazi Mzobe from Henley Business School, unpacking the entrepreneurship program, which will be rolled out sometimes next year. If you've got any specific question that you want to pose to her, the SMS line is 34519, the telegram is 061-895-1019, and of course your thoughts are definitely welcome via my X handle, which is @_DrMbele. As we're parting short, take us through the mentoring program, because that's one big component of any successful and viable program. Your take on that?
So what we are definitely going to have in the program is that you're going to have coaches. They're going to be coached, and there's going to be coach assigned to the students. But also, I think for me, the one thing I want to point out about the Henley design is that each program has a dedicated program director, and the program director acts as a mentor to our students. And the program director plays a very different role to the lecturer and the faculty. So that's what they'll be getting. They'll be getting the program director who's a mentor. They'll be having coaching, group coaching. And I think also the power of peer-to-peer coaching, which is really key for young people. And then in the action learning project, they also have the coach, who's a different person as well, who will be guiding them and giving them feedback. So the program is designed to continuously support, mentor, and coach the individuals who will be on the program.
Thank you very much for that useful information. Perhaps on my side, you know, I've seen so many programs that have mentors and coaches. Majority of them have not managed even a sponsorship. So I hope those are kind of stuff that you don't want to be attached to, because you get if you want to be mentored, the mentor has to be somebody of substance, somebody who has managed this thing, not from a textbook point of view, but from a practical point of view. But I know obviously your standards are quite high. That's something that you will certainly take into account, so that you don't give folks, mentors, that are just purely academic.
So I think as you said, you have a relationship with Henley. And the one thing that you know about the Henley lecturers is that it's practitioners. It's academics who are practitioners. So take me case in point. I run my business for the last 12 years. I'm also a program director. When I'm in the classroom, I'm able to give insights from my days in corporate, but I also can give insights of I've started and failed two businesses, but I've run my consulting business for 10 years. And so for me, even in designing this, I also had to come from a lens of an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
What did I need?
Absolutely.
What did I need? You know, and those are some of the things that you've thought about.
No, guys, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it to you. I know, listeners will probably be queuing and want to do more and more of this beautiful program that you're offering at the Henley Business School. I'm sure we'll have additional conversation moving forward, just to get a test how it's been rolled out. Let's leave it here. And thank you very much for coming through.
And thank you very much for inviting me. Have a good evening.
Beautiful. That was Nokasim Zobe from Henley Business School, giving us very interesting insights about a new program which has been unleashed at Henley Business School that deals with entrepreneurship for school living folks. Certainly a worthwhile venture to follow in the context of high unemployment rate that is in the country. So very interesting point, which we certainly keep an eyes and ears on it.